The precious peace and grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all, heart dwellers. You know how it is when you get busy with the world and it's difficult to finally get your mind to settle down and get into worship. And I'm just getting the edge back on my prayer after all my busy work. And during worship, I was finally able to focus and really enter into that sacred place with the Lord. We were dancing on a large open ballroom dance floor. I could see my dress, which was slightly full in a rich midnight blue color, but had stars trimming the bottom edges and coming halfway up the undulating fabric. The outer layers of the dress were sheer fabric, and the bodice was satin, coming almost all the way up and then sheer fabric to my neck and wrists, and was tastefully studded with tiny, tiny stars. I take the time to describe the dress because it was designed in heaven. And who would think there are evening gowns in heaven? There's not even an evening in heaven. But there are evening gowns, and since the Lord has taken the time and trouble to give me such a beautiful garment, I think it should be shared with you, because he surely has something like that prepared for you as well. His face became clear as we danced, and I realized I was dancing with Holy Spirit. Yet I didn't feel distant from him, as I sometimes do. He smiled, and I felt so relaxed and at home in his arms. We were on some kind of outdoor dance floor near a lilac bush in full bloom. Wow, he knows how much I love lilacs. After a few moments, Jesus cut in and danced with me. I was singing the worship song to him in my heart. You're probably familiar with that song, Draw Me Close to You. Draw me close to you, you are my desire, and no one else will do, because nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. And every time that verse came around, he would take my face in his hands and accent the verse, you are my desire, no one else will do, because no one else can take your place. And looking into my eyes so sincerely, I was overcome with thanksgiving and joy that I could mean anything to my God. And I won't go into any depth here, but as I've shared with you in the past, he's taught me that there is a place in his being where each person, unique as they are, fulfills a desire in him that no one else can fulfill. And that's why he's so grieved when he loses a soul to the enemy. That is a part of him that's gone forever. I was quietly thinking of a rapture and kind of complaining, you know. Not saying anything out loud, but it's like, it's taking so long, Lord, so long, so many disappointments. I'm weary, weary, weary of all the delays. Oh, when will you ever come? And that's what I was thinking, supposedly, to myself. But when you're in his presence, forget it. Nothing is to yourself. He sees and hears it all. And he broke into my private little conversation, looking down at me with great compassion. And he said, I know how you feel. And I answered him, you do? Yes, I know exactly how you feel. But how could you? Because I wait for you to come to me with your whole heart in prayer. I wait and wait and wait. And I listen to you telling me, I'll be there soon, Lord. And then I continued to wait, sometimes days. So you see, I do know how you feel. Oh, that's terrible, Lord. I know. Well, what is it like when I finally come? Heaven, he answered emphatically. I smiled. I was also thinking, I don't want to be one of those who teaches about God and isn't in love with him. Loving and serving him is one thing. Being in love, Well, that's quite another. I always want to be in love with him. He continued, I'll tell you one thing, though. It will be when you least expect it. Oh, Lord, stop teasing me. I wondered to myself, when could that possibly be? What circumstances could that possibly be? Maybe I'll be asleep? I wouldn't be expecting it if I were sound asleep. Right around that time, I saw myself in a wedding gown and we were dancing all over the dance floor. I was going to put Draw Me Close to You on repeat again, and he said, let me pick the next song. He chose Terry's song, We Glorify the Lamb, and I worshiped him. Afterwards, I asked him, Lord, do you have anything to say to us? Indeed, I do, sweet bride. I know how you've all waited and waited and waited for me. I know how you feel because I wait and wait and wait for you to come to me with your whole heart, your whole mind. That can at times be a very long wait. I understand the undercurrents in this world that pull you into its vast ocean, and I want to tell you, you must exert great force in swimming out of its undertow. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that aspect of the ocean, but sometimes they're very dangerous undertows, and you can get out in maybe 5 feet of water, and all of a sudden your feet can go out from under you because there's an undertow under the current of the water, on the bottom of the water, and you get out there far enough, and it'll just drag you. And that's why at some beaches they say, no swimming, dangerous undertow. So that's what he means by the undertow. Once you get caught in that, the only way to get out that I understand is to swim with it, but sideways, so that you somehow make it to land. You can't, there's no way to swim against it. It's way too powerful. Interesting you should say that about an undertow. The last 2 days, I've deliberately ignored the emails and the internet because I wanted you to have that time. And he replied, and you have seen how difficult it is to escape the seductive power of you need to do this, you need to do that. It is a guilt tactic the enemy uses to take you away from me. You haven't answered your emails. You haven't checked the channel. You haven't done the dishes, etc., etc. Yes, guilt works. That is, unless you are more clever than the enemy. Claire, for the last 2 days, I've given you the grace to swim away and out of that undertow, that undercurrent that so quickly swallows you up and draws you far out into the ocean of this world and away from me. I have helped you to keep in mind one thing only is necessary, and Mary has chosen the better part. You see, this is what it takes, my beloved brides. The kingdom of heaven is indeed taken by the violent. Those who do violence to the myriads of petty things that come to mind each day, nagging for attention from you. They are things that may have a purpose in your life, but if you watch carefully, you will notice that they come up strongly during prayer time. They come against you and press on you to abandon me in order to do other things. At prayer time, you begin to still your mind and focus on me. That infuriates the demons who say, oh, no, you don't. You haven't hung the laundry. You haven't made that call back. You haven't listened to your messages. You haven't made dinner. And on and on. They will use anything they can against you to force you to withdraw from prayer. Anything. And the more responsible and diligent you are, the more perfectionistic you are, the more you'll say to yourself, I shouldn't be praying now. I haven't finished my housework yet. I want you, my brides, to put these voices out of your heads and treat prayer time as the greatest responsibility you have, because it is. Life and death is tied up in prayer. Many of you have been raised. No, most of you have been raised to see free time as a reward after you've done all your chores. Most of you equate prayer with free time. Not so. Prayer should come before any work that's not a timely necessity, like getting the children off to school. The world's priorities are upside down. And who do you suppose arrange them that way? If you cannot get a good person to do bad things, get them to neglect prayer, and that will begin their moral decline. Put demands before them from relatives, then spike those demands with guilt so they can't turn them down. It was not without good reason that I said that those who love mother and father, wife, husband, and children more than they love me are not worthy of me. There will always be demons to inspire dissatisfaction with some family member when you don't bow to their demands. Are you willing to face them off and lose their affection for my sake? Obedience is not something you give to everyone. You are never under any obligation to obey something when it violates your conscience or the Gospels. For this, great discrimination is needed. It is so easy for the devils to twist priorities to cause guilt. Honor your parents does not mean sin for your parents. Honor your husband, your wife, does not mean sin for them. You are under no obligation to live the life your parents want you to live. Rather, you're to follow me in your life path. I just want to explain what the Lord meant by that last statement. I knew a lady who was in her 30s, and she wanted to be a missionary so badly, but her mother didn't want her to go and be a missionary. So she lived the life that her mother had wanted her to live instead of living the life that she felt called by God to live. And in a godly household, of course, we're to obey, but if ever you're drawn off in a different direction by the Lord in the household, say, for instance, your parents want you to be a doctor and you know that the Lord's calling you to the mission field, you're not under any obligation to please them. You're under the obligation to please the Lord. The Lord continued here. When moral obligations come into conflict with family, so often excuses are made just to avoid confrontations and keep the peace. If you're living with a non-believing spouse, parent, or family member, don't fall into the trap of being self-righteous. Find peaceful ways around confrontations when you can. But if push comes to shove, stand your ground and honor me. Many times I'm working with a hostile family member to give them an example and bring them to myself. The devils will continually stir up strife to deprive you of your prayer time. So be prepared in the long run to stand for what's right. Well, Lord, what about saying the binding prayer? Yes, binding and loosing prayers are very effective for stopping demon traffic in your home. As a believer living in your house, you have rights over evil, and you can pray against it and receive angelic assistance. But you are somewhat limited by the workings of evil spirits that are there by consent of the others who live in the house. Still, your prayers are powerful, and very often whoever you're praying for, removing their demons and their company, they don't know what hit them. Just all of a sudden the oppression and the impulse to do evil leaves with no explanation. This is the heritage of the children of God, freedom from oppression and the constraints of the enemy. There are many, many times when I'm testing your courage and your charity, and so it is essential that you remain close to me so that you know the season you are in. Is this a time to be conciliatory or a time to stand your ground? I'm telling you these things, my children, because many of you live in oppressive environments and are confused about obeying your parents, your husband, or providing for your wife. Whenever a request comes to you that compromises your conscience or inspires guilt, beware. It is a ploy of the enemy. Really, what are you willing to suffer for me? Are you willing to fall from favor in the eyes of man? Call to me in these moments, and I will instruct you and lead you out into an open place where you can find peace in my presence without the entanglements of men. Never fear to call evil what is evil. Never fear to stand when you know what is right. It will sooner or later bring you into confrontation. So the sooner you master your fears, the more freedom you will have in the long run. Remember, I am always with you, beside you, in you, and I will come to you and give you comfort for the wrath you incur on my behalf. I love you. I guide you. I am with you. You are mine. Let no man insist that they have dominion over you. You are a child of God.